Good afternoon, everybody. So we have in this week's Parsha all about Ki'ikach Ish Isha, when a person gets married. There are many aspects and elements of halachas that we can talk about marriage, but I thought we should talk practically about Sheva Brachas. There are many questions that arise whenever we have a week of Sheva Brachas. Nothing is ever simple. Questions are always complicated with regard to Sheva Brachas. So let's begin with one very simple halacha, or what would seem to be a simple halacha, and that is that when one makes a Sheva Brachos, the Gemara says in Ksubas on Daf Zayin that you need to make sure you have Panim Chadashos. In order to have the Sheva Brachos being recited every day of the 7 days following the wedding, you need to have somebody new present at that particular meal. So let's get into this halacha a little bit. The Gemara says we have a requirement of Panim Chadashos. There are those Rishonim who take that to mean very literally, you need Panim Chadashos in the plural, which means you don't just need one extra guest, you need two extra guests, which is something we are unfamiliar with, but that's what the Rambam's son records in the name of his father, Rabbeinu Avram ben HaRambam, and others assume that way as well, that you not only need one extra guest, but you need two extra guests. If I'm not mistaken, I think this is the practice of the Sfardim. Rabbi Avad Yosef says that they follow that practice of the Rambam, that it's not good enough to have one extra guest, you need to have two guests, but generally the minhag of Ashkenazim is that as long as you have one extra person present at every meal that you want to make a Sheva Brachos, that would be good enough. We don't take the Gemara so literally. We don't say that just because it's in the Lashon Rabim, Panim Chadashos, that doesn't mean that you need to have two extra guests. So that's with regard to that. Now, there's a major discussion in the Rishonim regarding this requirement of Panim Chadashos, and it's a very consequential discussion because it makes big nafkaminas lahalacha. So let's begin with the Machlokas HaRishonim. They try to discuss why is it that we need Panim Chadashos? What is the Panim Chadashos all about in order to require a new benching of the Sheva Brachos? So Tosis writes very simply, in Meseches Ksubas on Daf Zayin, that's where the Gemara discusses all of the Sheva Brachos. Maybe in the coming days we'll talk a little bit more about it, but Tosis writes over there, what is this requirement that the Gemara came up with of Panim Chadashos? So Tosis says very simply, Panim Chadashos means when you have somebody there who's going to be Marbe Bishvilam HaSimcha Yoser, that because of their presence we have more of a Simcha, we're more excited about the fact that everybody's gathered together because we have this extra special guest, and therefore we now have to make a new Sheva Brachos. Meaning, even though yesterday we were all very excited at the wedding, and even though yesterday we were all very excited at the Sunday night Sheva Brachos and the Monday night Sheva Brachos, but now since it's Tuesday night and we have a new guest here, so we have some sort of new element of Simcha, and that's what's going to require the new Sheva Brachos to be made at this Seuda that we are having now. That's the opinion of Tosis, that's the opinion of the Rush. Now the Achronim explain that what you see from these Rishonim is that it's all about being Mar B'Simcha. It's all about, do we now have a new aspect, a new element of Simcha? If yes, because of the new guest, then we are going to make Sheva Brachos. If no, then Sheva Brachos are not going to be required. That is basically the opinion of most of the Rishonim. The Rambam, however, strongly disagrees. And from the Rambam you see that he has an entirely different understanding of what Panim Chadashos is all about and what this requirement is for. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos that one would not make Sheva Brachos when you have all the same people who were here yesterday or who are here at the wedding. But the way the Rambam formulates it is as follows. B'meh dvar mamurim, that you don't make a Sheva Brachos, kishahayu ha'ochlim heim sha'amdu bebirchas hanisuin v'shamu ha'brachos. Says the Rambam, if you were present at the time that we made the Sheva Brachos at the wedding, then we would not now make a new Sheva Brachos if we have a meal together the next day. Aval im hayu ha'ochlim acherim, if the next day we have different people who were not present at the time of the birchas nisuin, if they were not present at the time that we made the Sheva Brachos at the wedding itself, shelo shamu birchas hanisuin b'shas hanisuin, then says the Rambam, we have a requirement to make a new Sheva Brachos now. And the Achronim explain that you see from the Rambam, he has an entirely different understanding of what Panim Chadashos is all about. It's not because now that we have somebody new who was not there before, that now we are more excited and that requires us to make a new bracha, but rather the Rambam's understanding is as follows. Everybody has an obligation to give a bracha to the Chasan and Kala. The Chasan and Kala are now getting married, we're very excited for them, we're very happy for them, and we want to wish them well. So each individual person has an obligation to wish them well and to give them those brachas. Now the Rambam says, if you happen to be at the wedding and you heard those Sheva Brachos already being said, so you already fulfilled your obligation. if now you are going to show up the next night and you were not there the day before when they made the Sheva Brachos, the Rambam would argue, you have not yet fulfilled your obligation of giving the Brachos to the Chasan and Kala. And therefore the Rambam would say that you have to go ahead and make the Sheva Brachos the next night. Nothing to do with the fact that we're excited that you're here, but rather because the Rambam says you as an individual has to fulfill your obligation of bestowing the Chasan and Kala with the brachos upon their new stage in life. So this machlokas, as we mentioned, has major consequences lahalacha, and we'll point out a few of them. These are scenarios that are things that come up quite often. These are not unusual, they're not uncommon, but they're important to know about. The Shulchan Aruch has a discussion as follows. Let's say you have somebody who is new at the Sheva Brachos, and we're not so excited about this person. So for example, you make a Sheva Brachos in a restaurant, and you have all the same people who were there already at the wedding, and everybody already heard the Sheva Brachos at the wedding. So we call in sometimes a waiter to come in and join us for the Sheva Brachos. So we're not particularly excited about the, obviously the waiter has to be Jewish, that's number one, but if the waiter is a Jew, we're not particularly excited about the fact that he's with us. We don't care about the fact that he's here. Nobody knows him personally. Nobody really cares that he's joining us for the Sheva Brachos. That's a major discussion in the Rishonim. Does that really help to fulfill the requirement of Panam Chadashos? And again, the Acharonim write that that boils down to this very question. If you assume that the reason for Panam Chadashos is because we need to have a Ribui Simcha, we need to have a new aspect, a new element of Simcha, well then by calling in the waiter that none of us are really connected with and none of us have a relationship with, that is not very exciting for us, and therefore Sheva Brachos would not be required. However, if you assume that the Panam Chadashos is because each individual person that comes in contact with the Chasan and Kala now has a new obligation of bestowing brachos upon them, then the waiter has not yet fulfilled his obligation, and therefore Panam Chadashos would be required. So again, this would boil down to the Machlokas, Rambam, and the Rosh and Rabbeinu Tam. So what would you say in a case like that? So you look in Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch, unfortunately, paskins like the Rosh and Rabbeinu Tam, which is that Sheva Brachos is only required when we have a Ribui HaSimcha, when we have a new aspect, a new element of Simcha, which would be a major problem for us. And that's a big question. Why is it that nowadays we seem to be makel when we call in somebody off the street, we call in the waiter who none of us care that he's there or not? Why is it that that helps for the Pachadashos if in fact the Shulchan Aruch paskins against the Rambam and doesn't even quote the Rambam's opinion? So this is a big question, this is a big issue. And it's, for some reason we're makel, but it seems to be connected to Shulchan Aruch. There's another question about the requirement of Panam Chadashos on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So what's the story with Shabbos and Yom Tov? So Tosas writes in Ksubas on Daf Zayin that on Shabbos there's no reason to have a Panam Chadashos. Even though during the week we always require a Panam Chadashos, Shabbos it's not necessary. Why? Tosas quotes because the Medrash tells us that on Shabbos the Ribono Shel Olam looked and said, Panam Chadashos Ba'u Lekan, let's go sing a Shir Chadash. And that would seem that Shabbos is the Panam Chadashos. So what exactly does that mean? That's the opinion of Tosis, that's what the Rosh writes, that Shabbos is a Panam Chadashos and there's no requirement for having an actual new person at the meal on Shabbos itself. So we find in the Medrash writes as well, Ein Adome Ma'or Panam Shaladam B'Shabbos, the same way it is during the week. That on Shabbos our faces are shining, our faces are totally different, we have a Neshama Yisera, and therefore we are not at all the same people that we were during the week. I did see that somebody asked the question, if that's true, then that helps for the Friday night meal, but what about for the Shabbos day? You already used up the Panam Chadashos on Friday night. Everybody is a new face on Shabbos, that's good for the Friday night, but if you have the same guest Friday night and Shabbos day, what does it help? So somebody wrote, I did see this discussion, I don't know if it's totally accurate or not, but somebody did mention that maybe the reason why is because the Arizal, who I know nothing about his way of thinking or his style of psak here, but the Arizal apparently said that we have a Neshama Yisera on Shabbos, but we only have a partial Neshama Yisera on Friday night. Once we say Nishmas on Shabbos day, then the Neshama Yisera is complete. I don't know what it means, I don't know exactly how we're supposed to understand that, but somebody wanted to suggest that based on that premise of the Arizal, that on Shabbos day we have the complete Neshama Yisera, then we can use up the Panam Chadashos on Friday night, as well as on Shabbos day, because we have not yet made the bracha with this new personality that's here, with the complete Neshama Yisera. There's a fascinating Balaturim. The Balaturim writes on the Pasuk that Velo Yada Moshe Kikaran Ar Panav, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that his face was shining, that he had some sort of light. So Michelangelo thought it meant that he had horns coming out of his head. We know that's not what it means. It means that Moshe Rabbeinu had a beautiful display of light that shone from his face. The Ruach HaKodesh that emanated from him was something that everybody was able to see. So the Baal HaTurim writes as follows, that the reason why that pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu's face shining, why does that show up in Parshas Vayakel right next to all the instructions about Shabbos? Says the Baal HaTurim, Lomar is coming to teach you, Shein Adoma Kirin Panav Shel Shabbos L'Shar HaYamim. It's coming to teach you that not only is Moshe Rabbeinu's face shining because he has Ruach HaKodesh, but the same is for us. If we keep Shabbos, if we're going to be cognizant of all that Shabbos represents, we are also going to have that beautiful shining face that Moshe Rabbeinu's face represented as well. So that's something that we find in Halacha that makes a distinction over here, that we assume that on Shabbos Panim Chadashos is not required because everybody, so to speak, is in some way a Panim Chadashos on Shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch writes that the same way this applies to Shabbos, it also applies to Yom Tov. It's not only reserved to Shabbos, it's Yom Tov as well. The Acharonim then take it further and say not only regular Yom Tov, but Yom Tov Sheni as well. We assume, there's a discussion, what if I'm a Ben Chutz Laretz who's keeping Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael? What about that? I think the simple understanding is, well, for you it's Yom Tov, so for you, the Panim Chadashos would not be required. And Chol HaMoed is a big Shaila. Should we assume that Chol HaMoed is also this Neshama Yaseira, the Simcha Yaseira, or should we say Chol HaMoed is not exactly the same as Yom Tov itself? And then those want to say, even if you say Chol HaMoed doesn't count, maybe we should say the Ushpizin on Sukkis. Those are the Panim Chadashos, all kinds of Hasidish Svaras, I don't know. Basically, on Chol HaMoed, generally, we try to have a Panim Chadashos, and Yom Tov and Shabbos, we assume Panim Chadashos is not required. The Shulchan Aruch does write, though, that even though we assume that on Shabbos a Panim Chadashos is not required, that is only by the first two meals of Shabbos. However, by Shalashudas, where generally all we have is some tuna fish and some egg salad, and it's not so exciting, it's not so special, so he assumes over there that we would need a Panim Chadashos. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes, because Shalashudas, we generally tone down. We don't do the same as the other two meals, and therefore Panim Chadashos would be necessary, the same as it would be required for any other meal during the week of Shevar Brachos. The Rama adds a caveat. However, says the Rama, even though that by Shalashudas you need to have a Panim Chadashos, if you're going to have Divrei Torah at the Shalashudas, then that's going to suffice for the requirement of Panim Chadashos. Now, what does that mean? Why should Divrei Torah be good enough? Why should Divrei Torah be good enough? Now, in general, there's a discussion about saying Divrei Torah. Let's say a person doesn't eat Shalashudas, but they said a Divrei Torah. Is that good enough to fulfill your requirement of Shalashudas? There's a big discussion in the Acharonim. Should we assume that fulfills the requirement? Reb Chaim Soloveitchik said, how could it fulfill the requirement? If someone says a Shtikl Torah and I shlug up the Shtikl Torah, that's the end of the Shalashudas. I can't shlug up a piece of fish, but I could shlug up a Shtikl Torah. So that's what Reb Chaim said, that how can you take care of Shalashudas with Divrei Torah? That's not going to be good enough. Maybe someone's going to ask a kasha, and then out the window goes the whole Chiddush that you said. So anyway, that's a discussion in general, but the Rama does write over here that by Shalashudas, as long as you say Divrei Torah, that should be good enough. So the Chasam Sofer, I think, explained that the reason why the Rama assumes this way is because the minig used to be, I think it was called a drasha geshank, something like that, that the chassan used to get up and say some fancy Dvar Torah, and if people were impressed, they would give him all the gifts. So that's a very exciting time. If the chassan's going to get up by the Shalashudas and say Shtikl Torah, and everyone's going to be impressed with his lamdus, with all of his chachma, and then because of that, they're going to come and give him a gift, so now that's a very exciting time. So that's why we say a Shevar Brachos by the Shalashudas. Again, it's not the simple understanding of the Ramah. Simple understanding is, even if the Chassan is not the one saying the Divrei Torah, and even if the Chassan Shtikl Torah is not so exciting, still, as long as there's Divrei Torah, that would be good enough. But either way, the Shulchan Aruch assumes clearly that we don't require Panim Chadashos on Shabbos because we assume that Shabbos is the Panim Chadashos. And the Stipler points out that he has a very difficult time understanding that. Again, the Stipler feels that this should play into the same discussion in the Rishonim that we started with. If you assume that the whole requirement of Panim Chadashos is the Ribui HaSimcha, so then says the Stipler, I understand. On Shabbos, we're all more excited. We have wonderful foods. We have delicious foods, more so than during the week. So then Panim Chadashos is not required because we're excited already without anybody else being here. But if you assume that the requirement of Panim Chadashos is because each individual person has to bestow the Chasan and Kala with the blessings as they're starting on their marriage, what does Shabbos make a difference? Everybody in the room already gave those blessings. Everybody in the room already gave the brachas to the Chasan and Kala. What should it help that we're all more excited on Shabbos? That shouldn't make any ounce of a difference at all. And in fact, the Stipler points out that this opinion is quoted in none other than Tosis and the Rosh. Tosis and the Rosh are the ones who assumed in the first place that the whole nature of Panim Chadashos is to be Mar Basimcha. So therefore it follows that they also say that Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't need a Panim Chadashos. But according to the Rambam, the Stipler wants to argue that perhaps this would not really be the case. Either way, in Shulchan Aruch, we assume that this is the way we follow, and on Shabbos and Yom Tov, a panim chadashos is not required. There's a big discussion whether or not a woman or whether or not a katan can count as the panim chadashos. The Pesach Tshuva writes that we generally do not rely on an isha or on a katan to be the panim chadashos, even though we might be very excited that they're there, but generally we assume that one should not rely on the woman or the katan to be the panim chadashos. Rabbi Yashiv writes, even when you have a gadol, even when you have somebody over bar mitzvah, but he's a 13, 14-year-old kid who happens to show up to the Sheva Brachas, and he's a child, a grandchild, or someone, we're not really excited that he's here. Rabbi Yashiv was masupik about him also. Maybe we should say, just because you're a gadol doesn't mean that we're all that excited about the fact that you're here. And we should try to get a panim chadashos that's really going to enhance the simcha in some meaningful way. It's quoted in the name of the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. His name was Reb Nosson Adler, a very famous gaon from the 1800s, that Reb Nosson Adler felt that he never accepted to do a Sheva Brachas. When he was sitting at a Sheva Brachas, he never wanted to make one of the brachas. Why? Because he said, I'm not really sure that we're so excited about the person who's joining us for the meal. Maybe we are, maybe we're not. And therefore, I don't want to get involved in a bracha levatela. You guys can do what you want, but I don't want to be the one to make the, perhaps, a bracha levatela. I'm not sure that we're really obligated in such a bracha. It should be pointed out that Rabbi Kivega writes in Hilchos Avelos that even though an avel generally is not supposed to join in a Simchas Mereyas, unfortunately when somebody is in Yud Beis Chodesh, they're not supposed to get together when we have celebrations. However, Rabbi Kivega writes, if that's the only way you're going to have a Sheva Brachas, is by adding the avel into the Simcha, by adding the avel into what's happening here, obviously that's what you should do. Now again, Rabbi Kivega points out it doesn't mean you should use it as a trick. Only invite 10 people, only invite 9 people and say, oh, now we're stuck, we need the Yavel to come in. It means if a person's really stuck, then he should have the Yavel come in order to join for the Suda Sheva Brachas and in order to be able to have a Sheva Brachas. But if it's easily avoidable and you can have somebody else sit in his place, obviously that is not something we should do. There's a discussion about somebody who shows up to a wedding and does not stay for the Sheva Brachas at the end of the wedding. Should we assume that you are now able to be a part of the Sheva Brachas on a subsequent night? So many of us go to a wedding, we only show up to the chuppah, and we don't stay for the whole meal, we certainly don't stay for the Sheva Brachas, so that's a question, should we be able to join in a Sheva Brachas later on? In Shulchan Aruch, the minhag is that we allow a person, as long as they haven't been there for the Suda, as long as they didn't participate in the wedding Suda, then we assume they are able to go later on and participate in a Sheva Bracha subsequently later in the week, and they can count as the Panim Chadashos as well. Now again, this is something that might play into the discussion as to what the nature of Sheva Brachas actually is. Should we assume that it's a Panim Chadashos, a Ribui HaSimcha, or should we assume that it's each individual person's obligation to bestow blessings upon the Chasan and Kala? If it's my individual obligation, then perhaps if I was there at the Chuppah, then I took care of my obligation. But if you say it's a Ribei HaSimcha, so until you participate in a meal, until you sit down together and enjoy festivity with everybody else, perhaps you have not fulfilled that part of the Simcha, and therefore we would assume that you can still count. So these are some issues with regard to the Panim Chadashos. Either way, we try our best to have a Panim Chadashos at all the Sheva Brachos. As we mentioned, the Pesach Tshuva writes, it should not be a Katan, it should not be an Isha. And again, the Chatchila, we would assume that a person should try not to just rely on the waiter or the person who is just being called in off the street just to join us for the Sheva Brachas. You should try to have somebody who's really going to be marbar in the Simcha, someone who's going to really add and enhance the element of Simcha that we're feeling for the Chasan and Kala on this very exciting time of their life.